Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Whether you love it or hate it, Massachusetts has the reputation of being a union-friendly state. And while there have been points of conflicts between union members and state government in the past, there were some things that seemed sacrosanct. Chief among them, the right to bargain collectively.
Until now. Last week, the Democratic Speaker of the Massachusetts House, Robert DeLeo, unveiled his budget proposal. It includes a provision to allow cities and towns to change some health care benefits for municipal workers without going through the collective bargaining process.
While the proposal deals only with a small slice of the overall bargaining process and is much smaller in scope than what's been enacted in states like Wisconsin, the DeLeo plan nevertheless has unions and government gearing up for a huge fight.
And at the heart of the matter, cities and towns are in dire financial straits, partly because of soaring health care costs. So something has to give. How should they balance their books? And should unions make further concessions to help do that?
Healthcare costs and collective bargaining in Massachusetts. That's our talker today. And you can join us. Are you a municipal worker or do you represent your town? What's your take on the DeLeo proposal? And for everyone out there, with budget woes felt from the local to the national level, is restricting collective bargaining the way to go, or is there another way to control costs, one that does not target unions? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK.
And we start today with news from Revere, where a broad coalition of municipal leaders met in support of Speaker DeLeo's reform proposal. WBUR's Steve Brown was there, and he joins us now from the State House. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Anthony.
So give us a sense. Who was at the Revere event, and what did they say?
Well, there were representatives there from 10 different groups of municipal and school leaders, groups like the Mass Municipal Association, Mass Mayors Association, Association of School Committees was another group representing school superintendents, just to name a few. They seem to want to show a united front in support of that provision in the House budget that gives municipalities the ability to implement changes in the municipal health insurance plans. Now, one of those speaking today was Revere Mayor Tom Ambrosino. He says health care is the biggest budget buster, rising at a rate that far exceeds a community's ability to raise taxes. Ambrosino says that in the long run, the health care reform provision will actually benefit union members.
We look at this as really a job savings bill, an ability to protect our union employees from layoffs, because in the absence of this kind of relief, many municipalities will be looking at laying off union employees.
Now, Ambrosino says that he believes a fairer way to deal with the problem is to have all union employees pay a bit more so that no one loses their job.
Now, Steve, this isn't the first time in Massachusetts history that politicians have proposed changes to union health care benefits, but it's never been easy. So how do municipal leaders see the road ahead?
Well, they're hopeful that they can convince the House to support the reform. It might be a little bit tougher across the hall once the Senate gets the budget. Now, they are encouraged by a ruling that was handed down just last week by a Superior Court judge involving MBTA workers. Now, T unions had brought a suit against the state stemming from the 2009 Transportation Reform Bill. That bill moved all the T employees to the Group Insurance Commission, which currently serves all the state employees. Now, Jeff Beckwith with the Mass Municipal Association told me the health insurance reform plan in the House budget is more moderate compared to the transportation reform. Now, the T employees plan to appeal that decision, and if the reform provision in the budget survives the debate and is signed by the governor, there's a very good chance that municipal employee unions will challenge that in the courts as well.
Well, clearly interesting debate in the road ahead. Thanks so much. That's WBUR's Steve Brown from the State House. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Anthony.
We are talking about health care costs and collective bargaining in Massachusetts. You can join us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. When you hear that municipal unions don't like the idea of perhaps paying more for co-pays when it comes to health insurance, what do you make of that? Or if you are a municipal employee, do you think that this is exactly the kind of thing that your union is there to help preserve for you? Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. We're joined now in the studio by Ray McGrath. He's legislative director for the International Brotherhood of Police Officers and the National Association of Government Employees. Ray McGrath, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us in the studio is Scott Lang, Mayor of New Bedford. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mayor Lang.
Thanks very much.
Ray McGrath, let me just start with you. Speaker DeLeo's proposal would give cities and towns somewhat unfettered ability to set a few things, co-payments and deductibles, without collective bargaining. That's what he's proposing. You'd still be able to bargain on things like premiums, so it seems like a small slice of what the overall negotiation package really is. So why is it that you're still calling this Wisconsin-esque?
Well, I think the issue really is about collective bargaining itself, not particularly health insurance, although health insurance is a dramatically shift changer here for both municipalities and the employees. We recognize as municipal employees that these costs are escalating at a rate much greater than other parts of our budget. However, the issue of bargaining, which has been the rights of public employees since the early 60s in Massachusetts, has never been challenged before. And this particular piece of legislation, although it's not legislatively legislation, it's in the budget, challenges and puts at risk our rights to collectively bargain with our employers, which we've enjoyed in the past. So we're concerned about that.
So do you see it as a slippery slope then?
I absolutely do. You know, this is the first step to what could be other steps in regards to elimination of public rights, public employee rights.
Okay, Mayor Lang, I mean, respond to that. The chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the House, Representative Dempsey, said that, you know, if they get this one change through, it could save cities and towns $100 million. And on the face of it, that sounds good, but you got to hear what Ray McGrath says. Healthcare costs are going up and up and up and up, so isn't it inevitable that cities and towns ask municipal employees for more and more and more over time?
Well, I think our municipal model is based on an industrial model. I think the industrial model, by and large, is dead. I think the status quo is dead regarding municipal sustainability. So I think when it comes to benefits, we have to begin thinking in terms of something that's a lot more equitable than exists today. And in many cities and towns, you have healthcare plans that are extremely expensive because of the actual plan itself, the plan design. And it is a far more superior plan than state employees have, than your private citizens have. And I think it's at this point something that needs to be looked at to try and figure out how do you begin reining in the cost of the health insurance premium in many cases. The way to do that is with plan design. And I think no one's suggesting that this be done in a vacuum. I think in New Bedford we've spent a great deal of time working with the unions, discussing it with them. But at a certain point, someone has to make a decision regarding a health insurance plan design that's appropriate and that's affordable and that doesn't lead to layoffs. So I think what the bill does, I think what the speaker's bill allows is at a certain point a decision be made. And the decision is not based on something that you can go out and get, you know, Uncle Jack's health insurance, you know, provider to give you coverage. It's going to be one of the main companies. It's going to be as fine a plan as the state employees have, and in many cases better, I would think, on the local level. It's still going to be locally controlled. It will still be in a situation where you can locally index it, mm-hmm. so you don't end up in a situation where, you know, all the cities and towns absorb the cost of a higher, you know, a higher cost area. But what this comes down is the unions have to begin to lead on these issues. The unions led all through the 20th century. All the major gains in working conditions, wages, benefits were as a result of the union movement. If they don't lead in the 21st century, there won't be any unions around because we'll have to lay people off to pay for these benefits, and that's what it comes down to.
Well, Ray McGrath, respond to that. I mean, you hear what Mayor Lang is saying. He's saying the ball's in your court, and then if you do nothing, if you fight these changes, it means that your very members are going to be losing their jobs.
Well, the ball may be in our court, but if you take the court away, we don't have any place to play.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're taking away our right to sit down and discuss these issues, and therefore how can we be participants in a process that does no longer exist? This is our real complaint. It has nothing to do with the health insurance as per se. I mean, although health insurance is an important issue, the facts are that if you know, it's like the kid who doesn't get his way at the basketball game and takes his ball and goes home with it. We don't have a ball to play with. If we don't have the right to sit down and meet and confer with our employers, then we have no rights at all. And yeah, that will be the elimination of the union. That'll be elimination of employees' rights, and it begins at the public sector end, and it'll end in the private sector.
Mm. You know, I know that you said that this isn't about healthcare per se and about collective bargaining more generally, but I mean, healthcare costs are what's driving this conversation at the moment from the State House on down. And I mean, Mayor Lang, one thing that I wonder, from the union's perspective, I mean, they might look at what's happening and say, in years past, we negotiated these contracts in good faith, and it's not right. Our fault that healthcare costs are soaring. It's also not our fault that a lot of cities and towns in Massachusetts actually didn't do anything to save for, you know, to put away the money that they know that they would have had to spend or are spending on these benefits. So why should we be punished for bad decision-making?
First, I can tell you now that there were very few cities or towns would have the luxury to put away money to keep up with the inflationary trend in healthcare premiums or healthcare costs, number one. And if they did, they would have been laying people off a long time ago to pay for it, which means less services, which means less growth. But the fact is, this is not a collective bargaining issue per se. Plan design. I've been negotiating contracts since 1978. I never had a situation for unions or for employers where someone sat down and said, let's begin now talking about co-pays. First time I did that was when I sat down with the unions back in 2006 and said, okay, let's come up with plans that are fair and save everyone money, including the employee, by the way. We have a tendency, the way it used to be, one size fit everybody, Master Medical Plus, whatever it was, whatever it costs, the sky's the limit, let's go. Right now, consumer choice, driven by the employees, the union employees, would bring down their costs as well as the cities and towns so we can keep the union employees working. When it comes to the premium split, it'll be subject to collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. But the idea, it is folklore to claim that the plans themselves, that someone negotiated with Blue Cross Blue Shield or with Harvard or with Tufts or United or whoever it might have been, talking about what you paid for an emergency room. That has come about as a result of unions and towns around the state trying to work together to bring down costs. But what you don't want is a veto. You don't want the employees to have a veto in which they say, gee, we don't want to change it. Because as soon as that happens, you end up having to go to the worst case scenario, which is cutting back the labor force.
Ray McGrath?
Well, the actual reality here is that the cities and towns were the negotiator of the plan and the plan design with the providers. I was a municipal employee for 32 years, and I was a union active for 25 of those 32 years, and a union negotiator. And I've never sat down with Blue Cross, Harvard Pilgrim, or any of those insurance companies to negotiate the plan design. But the cities and towns have done that. They're the ones that negotiated the plans with the providers. We negotiate the changes, or we negotiate the premium splits, and we negotiate the types of plan that we want with the employer after they have done their negotiations with the provider. So technically, the management of the communities have been the ones who have negotiated the plan designs themselves and then presented them to the union members into the individual unions in the past. Now we have the opportunity under the current law to coalition bargain so that all employee groups mm-hmm. can go as one versus separately. But most municipalities, in most cases, refuse to participate in that process. The mayor himself right here is not one of those people and negotiated substantial changes in his health plan through the negotiation process. Yet now they want to eliminate those negotiations and take the whole thing.
Well, I want to get the voice of our listeners in here. Let's go to Ashland. Steve is calling. You're on the air, Steve.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I should say I work in the private sector. I have very good, not great, very good insurance, and I pay about 20% of my premiums, which are over $500 a month. And I should say also non-union. But I do support collective bargaining. The challenge for me is with the quality of the bargaining that goes on. You know, it feels like the towns and the cities and always cave early in this process. So I support collective bargaining. I would like to see a more equitable distribution of expenses. But the reality is our elected leaders need to step up to the plate and really hold the line. It's important for all of us.
Steve, thank you so much for your call. I also want to mention that Megan McCombs on our Facebook page writes, I'm in a teachers union north of Boston. We offered to go on the state GIC, the General Insurance Commission, in our last negotiations, and the town turned us down. I'm told they have more flexibility in using our contributions to Blue Cross than if we paid towards the GIC. Teachers and unions aren't the sole instigators on these issues. So now we've got both sides of the issues. The unions say it's not our fault. We heard from Steve saying towns have to hold the line. I mean, Mayor Lang, what I wonder in all this is, aren't we sort of setting up the biggest issue here is like are the healthcare costs themselves? I mean, that's what you yourself mentioned. So aren't we setting up unions as something of a straw man here when they're bigger fish to fry in terms of reining in the cost, the overall cost themselves?
I think that there are a lot of components to why it costs a lot of money for a city or town to procure health insurance for their employees. It's not only plan design, it's also the trend in the healthcare industry. But plan design is a big driver. If you look at any independent reports, you'll see that if you can come up with equitable plan designs, and if you look at GIC as a benchmark, and I can tell you New Bedford is in no way rushing to get into GIC. We think we have, in essence, as good or better plan design, locally controlled, and have held costs by working very hard at it. But the fact of the matter is that plan design is something that's extremely important. If you have plans that have a $5 copay or a $10 copay, they're going to cost a lot more than a $15 or a $20 copay in premiums, and actually will cost the employees a heck of a lot more than they probably should pay.
Ray McGrath, let me ask you, I want to put some numbers to give us a little context here. I mean, I was doing a little research, and in terms of the overall percentage of municipal budgets, between 2001 and 2008, health insurance costs soared. I mean, for example, in Boston, it went from 7 to roughly 12% of Boston's budget. Lowell, 10 to 17%. New Bedford, 8 to 16%. So doubling, basically, the amount of budget that healthcare takes out of cities and towns. That's, you know, what people are looking at from the outside. And then, they hear you saying healthcare isn't the issue. It's collective bargaining. But we won't even budge on a $10 copay increase. People have got to wonder, if not that, then what?
Well, actually, I have to disagree with that picture of what's happening out there. First of all, I don't know many people that have $10 copays. And our percentage split on average across the Commonwealth, not just looking into the one particular area of the state, as the Boston Foundation would do, if they went from the west to the east, they would find the average is 75-25. So we pay at least average 25%. In many cases, it's 50-50. In some cases, it's 90-10. But on average, we're paying 75-25. And we pay copays and deductibles. Mine are almost exactly, and I'm from Central Mass, mine almost exactly what the GIC charges for the state employees and those municipalities that chose to join the GIC. So the misconception out there that municipal public employees don't pay copays and deductibles and are not paying high premiums is really not. It's fictitious in one sense. On the other hand, the cost of health care is something that if I had the answer to, if Governor Deval Patrick had the answer to it, if Governor Brown in California had the answer to it, and if Obama had the answer to it, we would be the heroes of the United States of America. It's a state. It's a national problem. It's not Massachusetts. Unfortunately, we live in Massachusetts, or fortunately.
Unfortunately.
We live in Massachusetts, that is the highest cost of health care in the United States. Oh, by the way, not just the United States, but the world. But why is that? Why do we have the highest health care costs? Because we have more teaching hospitals. We have more medical research facilities. We have more people on who look into and research healthcare problems and resolve healthcare problems. And we have more employees in the Commonwealth that deal with healthcare. In other words, I think it's the third largest industry in Massachusetts next to education. It comes healthcare, I think maybe even second. So this is an expensive state, not just because of the cost of healthcare, but to do business in the state in relationship to what the research and development of certain products are, the maintenance and care of patients are, and the costs of hospitalization are. Mm-hmm. It's just a conglomeration. If we end that, then we will have another problem with unemployment in the healthcare industry.
I want to get another call in here. Sean is calling from Lowell. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is a great topic. I just wanted to throw out that I'm a bargaining unit member in public higher education. I get my health care through the GIC, and one of the things we have is an annual open enrollment where once a year our members can choose to choose the health care plan that they want based on their medical and health insurance needs, their family needs, their income, what they're willing to spend on it. And I'm just wondering if this is something that cities and towns do as well, or is it a one-size-fits-all for the bargaining unit members?
Sean, thank you for your call. Mayor Ling?
Well, Sean, the fact is GIC offers more alternatives than most city or town plans. In New Bedford, I believe we have three plans now, which is very helpful. I'd like to see us have more because I think it is driven by the consumer. But the fact is that no one at this point, I haven't heard anyone get up and say the answer to this problem is everybody joins the GIC. It may, in fact, be in certain localities the answer. But no one at this point has adopted the idea that we're all going to go into the GIC.
Mm.
And if I could on that issue,
briefly,
we do have open enrollment periods at the local, just like they have at the state. However, the choices are not wide choices. So mm-hmm. You have one, maybe two choices if you want to switch.
Ray McGrath, we've got to wrap up here now. And I just wanted to turn the last question to you because, you know, I'm trying to think of for those listeners who aren't in a union and those, you know, who don't work for the towns. One thing that they've got to be thinking is that, even Speaker DeLeo, who has historically been very supportive of union members, when he comes out with a proposal that says maybe we should do something about some collective bargaining rights in Massachusetts, doesn't that tell you how much the goalposts have changed even here in Massachusetts regarding basically the political place that unions find themselves in?
I think that is one of the great points to be made here, that even in Massachusetts, the change of the change on the respect, the identifying and allowing for collective bargaining is on the horizon. And if our members don't wake up to the facts, and I think this is a wake-up call, there could be many more changes to come down the road.
Ray McGrath, Legislative Director for the International Brotherhood of Police Officers and the National Association of Government Employees, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Scott Lang, Mayor of New Bedford, thank you so much for being here
Thanks for having me.
Well, stay with us, because coming up after the break, we head to Concord and Verrill Farm for our next installment of Radio Boston's food series, Farm to Fork. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.